The meeting of the House Transportation Committee can now come to order. It is 1:06 p.m. on Thursday, April 24th in room 124. Members present today are Representatives Mina, Representative McCabe, Representative Stutes, and myself, Co-Chair Carrick. Let the record reflect we have a quorum to conduct business, and please take this time to silence your cell phones. Before we begin, I'd just like to thank Suniva St. Clair from House Records and Susan Quigley from the Juneau LIO for staffing our committee today. On today's agenda, we are bringing back up House Joint Resolution 14 on Port McKenzie and Northern Rail Extensions from Representative McCabe's office. And then we will be doing a first hearing and just a first hearing, not invited testimony today, on House Bill 186 on apprentice utilization from my office. Our office received one amendment from House Joint Resolution 14, and it was from my office. So at this time, I'm going to move amendment number one, also known as N.1, and object for discussion. Do committee members have the amendment in front of you? Very simply, amendment number one adds a whereas clause to the resolution, simply stating that another benefit of these rail extensions and rail transportation in Alaska is to offset impacts and provide an efficient alternative to industrial hauling operations taking place on public highways. Representative Stutes.
I'm curious what the maker of the resolution thinks about the amendment.
And through the chair, Representative Stutes, I don't have any problem with it. In a resolution, this is probably fine. If we were doing something in a bill, we might have to define industrial hauling operations. But I think there's a clear understanding that we're trying to relieve traffic on all Alaska highways and start using steel instead of asphalt for big stuff. So I'm good with it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, and I'm going to remove my objection. Is there any further objection? Seeing and hearing none, amendment number one, also known as N.1, is adopted. That brings House Joint Resolution 14 back before us with no further amendments to come before the committee. Is there any additional discussion on the resolution? Seeing and hearing none, I will look to Representative Stutes for a motion.
Madam Co-Chair, I would be delighted to make a motion. I move that HJR 1434-LS0776/N move from the Transportation Committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
And seeing and hearing no objection, House Joint Resolution 14 is moved from committee, and we will take a brief at ease to sign the paperwork. At ease. House Transportation is back on the record. Thank you to our committee for that very cromulent discussion related to rail transportation. And now we're moving on to House Bill 186 from my office related to apprenticeship utilization. I was going to turn the gavel over to my co-chair today for presenting this bill, so I'm going to have my staff actually mostly present today, but just wanted to do a brief introduction for House Bill 186, which ensures that to the extent practicable, the important and operative word here, that state-funded construction projects valued at $2.5 million or more will have at least 15% of the labor done by registered apprentices. Apprenticeship utilization is an important part of keeping young Alaskans in the construction fields and trades in Alaska and continuing to work with us. There's historical precedence in Alaska for this policy, and this language in the legislation is a return to legislation or a return to policy that provided for this provision. And I'll be happy to take questions after the bill presentation. I'm going to turn it over to my staff, Griffin Sakeo, for the presentation of House Bill 186.
Thank you. Good afternoon, House Transportation Committee. My name, for the record, my name is Griffin Sakeo, staff to Representative Carrick. So, apprenticeships have been utilized for thousands of years. Benefits of apprenticeship programs include that federally recognized apprenticeships help Alaskans learn trade skills while earning a livable wage. Apprenticeship programs set Alaskans up for employment in the future. They encourage Alaskans to stay in Alaska with long-term employment opportunities. Apprenticeships are an alternative to going to college. They develop the workforce. And the Department of Workforce Development reported that 92% of apprentices who complete registered apprenticeship programs are still employed 9 months later, earning an average income of $80,000 annually. This slide goes over a recent history of apprenticeship administrative orders. Starting in 2005 with Governor Frank Murkowski, the then governor introduced Administrative Order 226. This AO created a 15% apprentice labor hour goal for state-funded construction projects of heavy and highway construction. AO 226 covered four apprentice positions, those being operating engineers and other construction equipment operators, mobile heavy equipment mechanics, and lubrication servicer material disposal technicians. This was a great starting point and was used as a building block by Governor Bill Walker in 2015, who expanded the scope of the original AO to include 23 job titles rather than four. Now, to the extent possible or practicable, any construction contract over $2.5 million advertised by the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities or the Department of Administration were required to have not less than 15% of their labor hours performed by apprentices. Following the United States Department of Labor Standards Occupational Classification System job titles, the 23 job titles included were boilermakers, bricklayers, carpenters, cement masons, culinary workers, electricians, equipment operators, elevator constructors and mechanics, insulation workers, iron workers, laborers, mechanics, millwrights, painters, pile driving occupations, plumbers and pipe fitters, roofers, sheet metal workers, surveyors, sprinkler fitters, truck drivers, tugboat workers, and welders. This was under AO 278, which was by Governor Walker, which was set to expire January 1st of 2021. In 2019, Governor Dunleavy enacted AO 309, which rescinded AO 278 alongside other AOs. The next three slides are our sectional analysis. the list of the 23 occupations is the same that I just listed out. So I'm just going to skip over that unless you want me to do that again. So section one amends AS 39.05 by adding a new section, Article 1, which reads use of apprentice labor in construction. Subsection A, when a construction contract is advertised by the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities or the Department of Administration that is worth $2.5 million or more, not less than 15% of the labor hours must be performed by apprentices in the following occupations. Again, that is the same that was in AO 278, which I just read off. Subsection B, the commissioner of the Department of Transportation or the commissioner of the Department of Administration shall provide to the commissioner of the Department of Labor and Workforce Development the following information for each construction project. One, the name of the project. Oops. Two, dollar value of the project. Three, the name of the prime contractor and contact information for the prime contractor. Four, the name of each subcontractor and contact information as provided to the department and prime contractor. Five, the percentage of labor hours that will be performed by apprentices. And six, the occupation title of each apprentice used. Subsection C, the Commissioner of Labor and Workforce Development shall collect data on the total apprentice hours worked on each construction project that is provided to the Commissioner under Subsection B. Subsection D, this section does not apply to a construction project if applying the requirements of this section to the project would cause the state to lose federal funding. Subsection E contains three definitions. One, apprentice means an apprentice enrolled in a registered apprenticeship under 29 U.S.C. 50. Two, construction means the process of building, altering, repairing, maintaining, improving, or demolishing a public highway, structure, building, or other public improvement for any kind of real property other than privately owned real property leased for the use of agencies. Construction does not include professional and other services related to the planning and designing required for a construction project, the routine operation of a public improvement of a public improvement to a real property, or the construction of public housing. Three, labor hours means the total hours of work performed by a construction worker on a project in job classes subject to minimum wage rates under AS 36.05.070. Section 2 adds that the Commissioner of Labor and Workforce Development shall, with the assistance of the Commissioner of Administration and the Commissioner of Transportation and Public Facilities, submit a report to the legislature identifying the percentage of apprentice labor hours in the occupations listed in AS 36.05.125 that were used in each construction contract subject to AS 36.05.125 for the fiscal years ending June 30th, 2026, June 30th, 2027, June 30th, 2028, June 30th, 2029, and June 30th, 2030. The Commissioner of Labor and Workforce Development shall deliver the report to the Senate Secretary and Chief Clerk of the House of Representatives on or before September 1st, 2030, and shall notify the legislature that the report is available. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sakeo. And do we have questions from committee members? Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Through the chair, what happens if you don't, if the workforce isn't available? Does the project stop if they can't provide these required percentage of, what is it?
Apprentices.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mr. Sakeo.
If they can, apprentices. Yeah. Thank you.
through the chair to Representative Stutes. Great question. The language of the bill says to the extent practicable. So no, the project doesn't stop. It can continue forward without that 15% of apprentice labor hours requirement.
Thank you for that. Now I remember reading it. Thanks.
I would also just note, too, for Representative Stutes' question, that most construction companies and public projects do try to utilize apprenticeship labor where it's available. This just adds a little bit more, teeth to them trying to look for those individuals such as they exist. But when they don't, when we don't have apprentices in these fields, I can think of a couple examples on that list of 23 occupations where we really struggle in Alaska to have apprentices. This bill doesn't penalize them or prevent them from doing any work as a result of not having apprentices in those fields.
Great. Thank you.
Representative Nina.
Thank you, Co-Chair Carrick, through the chair or to the chair. What does the enforcement look like then if they don't meet the 15%?
I can try to answer that. So to Representative Mina's question, I think there's no teeth in this legislation saying that if you don't meet these percentages, then there's any penalty. However, I see the purpose of the legislation as twofold. One is that we're trying to get as many apprentices as may be available, up to a certain percentage involved in construction work. And secondly is this component of reporting to the legislature, which I think will help give a better idea of what workforce development areas for different construction trade fields that we need to potentially invest more in. So this is more of a carrot bill than a stick bill. It doesn't have an enforcement mechanism. And I look to my staff, and that was an adequate answer.
Very cromulent.
Very cromulent. May I follow up?
Follow up.
So looking at the bill text, my understanding is that it's about requiring that the is it that the advertisement for the bids have to state at least 15% apprenticeships, or like could the department have a bid that has that advertisement, but you know, as Representative Stutes was saying, end up, you know, maybe having 5%, 10% apprentices?
I'll ask Mr. Sakeo to provide a comment.
Through the chair to Representative Mina, just for clarification, are you saying that the state puts out a construction project with that 15% requirement and they just aren't able to meet it?
Mm-hmm.
Through the chair to Representative Mina, I think that the department is online or potentially.
I'm going to ask Andy Mills if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah.
Our faithful, trusty Department of Transportation staff, Mr. Mills, thank you. If you have an insight on the potential answer of that question.
And for the record, Andy Mills, Special Assistant and Legislative Liaison for the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. And through the co-chair, Representative Mina. So in talking with our Chief of Contracts, who I actually believe James Woods may actually be online as well, to answer any more technical questions. But from this level, I'll be happy to answer that when we put out a request for proposals or an RFP or an invitation to bid, an ITB, which tend to be the solicitations that we put out for these types of contracts, there are provisions currently in the contractual language that talks about the ratio of journeymen to apprentices and sort of the how the apprentices as part of that contract are handled. This, of course, would add a threshold. So from a department standpoint, we would update our, call it boilerplate contractual language. But largely, and I certainly hope that you'll seek the input from AGC members or contractors, that they would largely have the onus on them and the union hiring halls to meet the obligations, which this legislation, if enacted, would simply go into our contract language.
And I just wanted to note, too, we have a couple folks online for questions. I forgot to mention James Woods, Chief Contracts Officer for DOT and PF. And we also have Jeremy Applegate with the Labor and Workforce Development in Wage and Hour, and Chris Diamond with the Western States Regional Council of Carpenters are all potentially available for questions. Representative McCabe.
Thanks. And I'm not sure this might be for Mr. Woods or Mr. Mills. So you put out an RFP, and McCabe Construction Company says, I can only get 10% of the workers as apprentice, but Carrick Construction Company says that she can get 15%. Does that make a difference? And say that we're within a percentage point of each other. Is that going to make a difference in who you award the contract to?
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, I may have that technical question by Mr. Woods online and see if the onus, again, whether it falls on the contractor or whether there's through the solicitation process, a piece of that enforcement from the department.
Mr. Woods, were you able to hear that question?
Yes, I was. Thank you. Through the co-chair, the representative, and I could not quite hear that name, so I apologize for that. And in response to Mr. Mills' inquiry, that is an excellent question and rather valid, and I'm not quite so sure in the language that I read through that topic was addressed historically and prior to the implementation of this theoretical bill or prospective bill. Currently, it would go to the lowest proposer. So I believe that topic that was brought up is a very good question and may very well need some further research. Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah, I will add to Representative McCabe, that's an excellent question. I don't believe it's addressed in the bill either that I could see, so might be something worth thinking about how we would navigate that for the state procurement. Representative Mina.
Thank you, Co-Chair. Carrick, through the chair, I'm curious, and this might be a question for Mr. Diamond on the line, but I'm new to learning about these different administrative orders from over the years. Could he speak to perhaps the impacts on apprenticeships when AO 309 from 2019 was implemented and the training of the workforce?
Mr. Diamond, were you able to hear that question?
Co-Chair Carrick, I only caught part of it. I apologize that the audio was doing some funny things there.
Representative Mina, do you want to repeat the question?
Sure. Through the co-chair, to Mr. Diamond, I'm new to the administrative orders, and so in 2019, when AO 309 was implemented to revoke the apprenticeship standards, how did that impact labor?
Well, this will just be anecdotal in my opinion on it, but when you remove those guidelines and benchmarks that contractors no longer necessarily have to strive to ensure that we're building Alaska's workforce when we're building the infrastructure in the state, I would guess maybe the administration might have or the department might have some data on that, on what we saw change, but without having the metrics myself, I couldn't answer that accurately.
Follow up. Through the co-chair, I don't know if Mr. Mills might have any comment. I know that, if these standards were revoked, then I doubt that the department was tracking any numbers. But if the department has been tracking any changes from AO 309.
Again, for the record, Andy Mills, through the chair, Representative Mina, that type of data tracking, as this bill even calls for, it might be a good question for the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, who works on apprenticeship programs, and that might be the right agency, although I could take that back and ask our folks if we have anything from our side of the equation. But again, I understood that this data would flow to Labor and Workforce Development, and they would be generating the report. So,
Mr. Applegate, were you able to hear that question?
Yes, for the record, my name is Jeremy Applegate, Department of Labor, Wage and Hour, or the Chief of Department of Labor, Wage and Hour Office. We would not have that information. However, I can take that question to our commissioner's office and see if any agency within our oversight could get you an answer.
Thank you.
I don't think Wage and Hour typically collects that information, but we can definitely get back to the committee with that.
Research and analysis very well might. So.
Thank you, Mr. Applegate. Representative McCabe.
Thanks, and I'm not sure who this is for, and it's more for maybe some future research. Last year, in a different bill, I did a bunch of research on different villages and different cities and the struggle that they were having with contracts. Frankly, some of the villages, smaller villages, are really, really struggling to find contractors that will do any work out there. And I'm wondering if this, it's not really, I guess maybe it's not really a restriction, but I'm wondering if this additional language would cause them an even more bigger problem to for not necessarily the DOT, but village contracts. Mostly I'm thinking, Port Lions, Yuzinki, Akiak, all the, that are kind of far out, and they struggle all the time to get contractors to come out there and do things. And I'm just wondering if this will make it worse.
I can speak to, I guess, philosophically. I think the real operative word in the legislation is practicable, and I just really go back to that because we do struggle to get contracts in certain areas and in certain fields for projects. This bill is a forcing mechanism to consider apprenticeship utilization in a greater way than maybe is always being currently considered. But it's not a forcing mechanism for actually having apprenticeships. And so I think that's where the distinction really lies. So I don't foresee there being any reduced construction projects in Alaska as a result of asking our construction contractors to be considering apprenticeship utilization and how to increase it to this percentage to the greatest extent possible. I might ask Mr. Diamond if you wanted to provide additional comment on that.
Thank you, Co-Chair Carrick. And for the record, this is Chris Diamond with the Western States Regional Council of Carpenters. To Representative McCabe's question, this bill really is aiming to ensure that we're taking every measure we can to rebuild Alaska's workforce. This isn't meant to be punitive. It shouldn't be a detriment to contractors, but the extent practicable, that should leave enough room in there for contractors that aren't able to fill those requirements in villages or other areas. This shouldn't be a hindrance.
Follow up.
So, Mr. Diamond, maybe you're the person to answer this sort of next question, follow-up question. Can an apprentice gain the hours that they need to get to journeyman in a non-union company?
Through the co-chair to Representative McCabe, yes, they can. There's plenty of non-union apprenticeship programs around the state. Alaska has numerous apprenticeship programs, union and non-union, so that should not be an issue.
Cool. Thanks.
Any further discussion or questions? Representative Stutes.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. What's the name of that little doggy there in the picture?
Well, for the record, that would be my dog, Zephyr, who is himself somewhat of a low-flying aircraft.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair.
Any additional discussion or questions? That wasn't one I was expecting today. Seeing none, we are going to set House Bill 186 aside, try to get answers to a couple of the questions that came up today. Thank you for the committee's consideration, and we will be taking this up at a later date. And at this time, I also just want to make an announcement for the Transportation Committee members. We will be setting an amendment deadline for SJR 12, which we heard on Tuesday. This was the NOAA buoy outages resolution from Senator Dunbar's office. The amendment deadline will be Monday, April 28th at 5 p.m. So I'd ask that members please work with the bills or the resolution sponsor's office and please submit any amendments to the co-chair's offices by Monday, April 28th at 5 p.m. We'll also send that out via email as well and try to get those questions answered about Coast Guard that we were talking about earlier. Other than that, the next House Transportation Committee will be on Tuesday, April 29th at 1 p.m. here in Room 124. At that hearing, we will take public testimony on House Bill 186 as well as invited testimony on the legislation we heard today and take any amendments and public testimony on SJR 12. And with no further business
I have one follow-up, Madam Co-Chair, if I might.
Representative Stutes.
Would Zephyr be a beagle dog?
Zephyr is a beagle.
Thank you.
And
just
he is
wanted
not,
to confirm that, Madam Co-Chair.
He is not an apprentice, unfortunately.
Yeah, he looks like a senior. Thank you.
House Transportation is adjourned at 1:38 p.m.